things, we're going to see them in contrast. So look at it with me in chapter 13. So again, the beginning of the chapter, in verse 1, it talks about a wise son. And again, he's talking about hearing. And again, one of the things for us that a lot of times that I've noticed, I've been a leader, not only in the ministry of a church, but also in the workplace. And one of the things that's valuable about people that work around you or work for you is people that listen. And not only listen, but you don't have to tell them how to do something more than once. You tell them what you want them to do. And sometimes they may not have heard you well, or they want more explanation. But there's value in someone that says, I didn't get it, and is honest up front. And instead of having to come back and call you, now, what did you say to do? Or you'd ask you two or three times. And so again, every one of us that has ever worked with anyone, sometimes, you know, you can't fault them if they ask you, now, I didn't understand what you said, you know, and you explain it a little bit. Now, I've grown in that. Now, again, I don't want to take a lot of time to go over the first 10 verses again, but for me, I was one of those kind of people. I realized if I didn't explain myself well, especially as someone, when I worked for myself and I was the leader, and I was the one when we cut pipe and they cut it too short, amen, I had to pay for it. Amen. And so I got real good at explaining things, because I didn't want to pay for more pipe than I had to pay for. And so I made sure that I explained it in a way. Now, do you understand? I want it this long. I want you to do it this way. And again, if you're the boss, you have the right to ask people to do it the way you want it done. Now, you don't always get that way. I get it. And I've heard the old saying that, you only get 80% of what you ask for. But that's not always true either. If you get somebody that can hear, but even as a son, I can tell you, I wasn't getting paid by my dad, but he had this belt that I didn't like to see it come off of him. I liked it to hold his pants up. Amen. And when we talk about all those things, I realize that sometimes, my dad was not, he was not unreasonable. Usually, if I didn't understand, he would explain himself in detail so that I could get it right, because he was trying to teach me. A lot of times, we don't realize that all the time. Sometimes we think the boss is just a meanie. Sometimes we can't see the big picture, and he doesn't necessarily have to paint it all for us. But sometimes, if we would just listen and hear and go about doing the thing, if we step back for a moment, we'd see the whole thing fall together the way that he was trying to plan it all together. And I think so much times, if we take that in a small setting in the area of our job, our business, or even the church, when we see when God has his book and he explains things to us and he has a certain way, we may not understand how it all is going to fall into place and why he asked us very specifically to do certain things and not do other ones. But we don't need to understand it all. All we got to do is step back and trust that he's going to put all the things, all of it's for my benefit and for his glory. We said much of that last week, but with that in mind, he goes through some things. He deals with the transgressor, lots of contrast between the two. And even when we're talking about this, when we're talking about hearing and speaking, this book is very practical. Even though it's a father to a son, not all sons are adolescents. Some sons are adults. And again, so when we're dealing with this, he deals with a lot of labor in this chapter. He deals with a lot of work. But again, it's only been in recent years, or in the last maybe, I would say, 100 years, that adolescents weren't expected to work. I mean, even for me, folks, I remember my first real experience with summer work was probably when I was 8 years old. I grew up in an old-timey place with an old-timey dad on the farm area. And that, as an eight-year-old boy, I was hanging off the back of a trash truck throwing trash with my parents, because my dad was trying to train me up in the way that I should go. Again, we've been duped into this Dr. Spock mentality, by the way, who didn't have any kids, okay? That kids need to be kids because they're going to work for the rest of their life, okay? Kid needs to work too. Kid needs to learn how to break a sweat. He needs to learn that work isn't dirty. It's something that it should be profitable. He should grow with a good kind of pride that he finished something and that he did something. So again, it's only been in recent years that we've gotten this. And I'll have to say it, you know, that bad mentality that kids need to be kids and one day they'll pop out and be adults. The reason we have young adults that turn into older kids, 25 years old, you know, it was unheard of to hear about somebody that needed to stay on mom and dad's insurance until they were 25, 26, living in the house and keeping on going because people would go on out and work. They had been doing it for years. They had been doing it since they were 10 or 12. And then they had some experience and things. Again, I'm not saying that everybody's wicked. I think everybody gets in different circumstances. And I'm thankful God gave me parents. You know, there was one time where as a young man, I had to go back in the house for a week before I could find another place. Amen. And I thank God I had good parents. And they loved me and let me come home and then turn me loose again when I went again. But at the same time, it wasn't my plan to live with them for the rest of my life. Amen. I didn't go there with that long-term expectation. Now, I know there's not a lot of amens going on right now. And some of us are reaping what we sowed. But amen. Don't change the word of God. It doesn't change truth. Amen. And so as we look at it, we come to this place here while we went to the first 10 verses, but we really didn't get to verse 9 and 10. Look at verse 9 with me. The light of the righteous rejoiceth, but the lamp of the wicked shall be put out. A lot of this light is speaking about a life. Again, in my life, if I'm going to live a life for the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to listen instead of doing all the speaking to what God has for me. I'm gonna spend a life and I can rejoice with the light that God gave me, the time that God gave me to serve him. I can have a rejoicing time in this life. But again, the wicked person, the person that's only living it up for themselves, again, God is going to put that light out, he says. You know, God's only going to let a person go so far and taunt God so much before he takes that person home. Or again, or their sin comes to a place where it takes them out of this world for someone who's not saved. But look at verse 10, only by pride cometh contention. Kind of right in the middle, does this seem like it's out of place? You know, we've been talking about hearing and speaking. Oh, no. If we're going to have contention, that usually is with words, isn't it? When we get wound up and the pride swells up in it, usually it pops off out of our mouth. That's usually where we come. Most of the time that we have to, you know, and we've heard the old adages of when we say things, and boy, we could never go and round all those words back up. We could never get them all back. And some of those things we meant, sometimes we were just over the top and we said things that we didn't mean. But either way, in this thing, we understand that only by pride cometh contention. Now, very often, I will say, in the most of us, we would say this, well, it's because they're prideful. You know, and I heard this old thing, and I'm not into dancing, but I did hear that it takes two to tango. I don't really know what that means, but it does a lot of times when pride gets going and somebody gets upset. It can come from one side. It can come from the one side. But most of the time, there's an issue between both parties in the situation. Not always, but most of the time. And so when it says that here, it says, only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. So what are you going to do if pride happens? The Bible gives us a good answer. If pride gets so swollen up that there's contention, how about in the church? This family's feuding with this family. All right? This brother is feuding with this brother. The Bible tells us that with the well-advised is wisdom. Well, what should I do, preacher? I think you ought to go to the preacher and tell him your problem. I think you ought to sit down with somebody that's outside of that thing and say, listen, this is what happened. Do you know, in the past, there was a brother in my church that, you know, come to me and I said, listen, I don't need to hear that. I'm just a man in the church like you. He came, but this brother over here, I hired him to do drywall for me. And he said he come and did the worst job you ever seen. I had to pay another man to come back and do it. And he wants me to pay him. And the other man said, he told me if I could do this and I did it the way he told me. And then he didn't pay me. And I'm sitting there, you know, and again, he's telling me about halfway through this thing. And I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. This is not for me. You need to take this to the preacher. You guys need to get this right. This is deeper. Again, you need to go to somebody that can advise you of how to reconcile this. Because, you know, sometimes, again, ultimately, those two brothers to be reconciled, they're going to have to swallow their pride. And they're going to have to deal with the situation, good, bad, or indifferent. Now, I believe that there should be restoration If one cheated the other, if they once they get to the bottom of who did the cheating, there ought to be restoration. Amen. But it doesn't mean that restoration has to come before forgiveness. You know, a lot of times people will wait for restoration and they never forgive, and it eats and eats and eats and becomes bitterness, and a root of bitterness springs up in your heart. You know, you can get to the place where you forgive somebody and wait on the restoration. You can get to the place where you let that go. But again, here, pride cometh only by, this only by pride cometh contention. So if there's contention between you and a brother today, again, that only happened by somehow pride springing up there. Now again, contention comes when there's opposite opinions, and you say, well, which one do we, how do I know which one of us is wrong? Well, again, especially in a ministry like ours or where you're at, a lot of times it doesn't have to do with right or wrong. It's want to, it's desire. And the only way to figure out a lot of times is, okay, well, when there were two different opinions, who was higher on the totem pole and who should have listened and who should have got in line? That's usually the way it works. But my idea was better. It really don't matter. Amen. Amen? Just get in line. Get back on the train. Again, get it straightened out. Get some, again, this well-advised, this is wisdom. I think sometimes, all the time, a lot of times, you know, the office is always open. People are always willing to meet with you. You got different leaders all over the church. We got youth pastors for teenagers. But most of the time, people won't go to someone to get wisdom. They want to go to their peers, and we said this before, to get the exam advice or the idea from someone who is their age. A lot of people won't go and sit down with the preacher because they know what the preacher's going to say because he's already preached about it. Amen. He's going to advise you from the Word of God, and most of the time you don't want to sit there and hear it again because that ain't what you already know what's right to do. You just don't want to do it. You want somebody to agree with you. And most of the time you're going to have to go out and find a worldly person that you pay money to sit down with, and they'll tell you whatever you want to hear because you're the one paying the bill. Amen. They'll tell you it's not your fault. They'll blame it on your mom or your uncle or your dad or somebody. They'll tell you something that makes you happy because they want you to come back and pay again. They want you to come back and pay again. You say, don't you think they have anything to do with any of it? I do. I think sometimes there's a place for them. There's a place for them with lost people. But there's no way, as a saved person, I'm going to go to a lost man and tell them to give me counsel. Amen. Not one time. And I sure am not going to pay them for the counsel. Amen and amen. Now you may think that's old fashioned, all right? But blame it on Pastor Carter. He's the one who taught me. Okay? Verse 11. I went to this college called Landmark Baptist College. It's right down the street. And they even got books down there. Amen. They got the book. Verse 11, wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall be increased. I don't think you have to be a rocket scientist to understand where the Bible's headed in these next few verses, but he's saying here that wealth gotten by vanity. The word vanity, if you're not, you know, real familiar with it here, again, it can mean something as simple as idle pleasure. A lot of times when we see it in the scripture, it's going to mean like idle pleasure. But here it's talking about gain. So how in the world would we get gain? But so more appropriately, the definition for this word vanity would be idle show. We live in a day and age where people get paid to do a little dance. They play money. They play on the street and people throw money into their hat and things like that. So that's what makes my mind go to when I think about an idle show. It's not a skill or providing a service. It's putting on a show for just a little while and somebody giving money into your bosom for that. Again, we're not talking about that's wrong or the Bible says that that's sinful. The Bible says that wealth gotten by that way isn't going to last. It's going to diminish. All right, it's going to fleet away. But it says, but he that gathereth by labor, why is that? Because if it didn't take you much to get it, you're not going to respect it very much. You're going to go out and blow that money. I can get it the same way I got it before. But a man that went out and put his hard sweat and tears into something, he's going to be more mindful of how hard it was to get that money and to have gain and how precious that is. And it's not going to be flippant to him to go blow it on anything out there. Now, again, it doesn't say that these things are sinful. It's just giving you a contrast. The man that can make it just by putting on a show, his money's going to go. It's going to diminish. But the man that got it by hard labor, here gathered by labor, shall increase. Verse 12, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. But when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. This verse is very true. Every one of us, some of us have had it before. Something has been either promised or we've looked forward to it. We talked about the rapture. And again, if we see I'm looking at a group of people who have lived the Christian life. Many of you have lived the Christian life longer than I have. And you've seen a blood moon come and you've seen a blood moon go. You've seen a time when it seemed that Jesus was about to step out on the clouds. And again, the hope was excited. You were looking forward to the return of Jesus Christ. And time kept going and we kept on serving. And then maybe another time period came where it just seemed like everything was in line and it could be today. And again, it's not necessarily just talking about that hope. How about for those of you, when I was a kid, I would, you know, my grandparents, I don't know why they did that. They'd get the catalog, you know. I don't know if it was JCPenney's or whatever it was, but they had this catalog. And, you know, in my day, it was colored. They had all these different toys in it. My grandmother would say, go in there and write, check off the things that you'd like to have. Well, I just marked every page. You know, and then she had to go after that. She's like, now go back and put 1, 2, and 3 on the things that you really want. I was like, I didn't stay and listen long enough. Amen. And so, but I went back and marked the book up. But, you know, sometimes that one thing, if it was a little too expensive or whatever, but once I'd marked those things up, my grandparents are pretty good about getting something for me. But, you know, I hoped for those things that I marked. And then if Christmas came and, you know, I had a birthday and Christmas real close together there. So if I didn't get it for my birthday, usually I got it for Christmas within about 5 days of each other. But if somehow something happened and I missed those things, and I wasn't an unreasonable kid. I wasn't one that hoped for more than I thought was estimated in my family. But sometimes if something just missed or they wanted to get me something and it wasn't exactly what I wanted on the list, I'd miss that thing. And boy, I remember how as a kid, you know, I tried not to show it. I was a good kid. I wasn't one of them spoiled, rotten kids that came out and like, you didn't get me what I wanted, you know. You know who they are. Amen. They're in this room tonight. No. And so, but I remember, you know, going out there and trying not for that hope deferred to be on my face. I wanted to be able to go out, and I was glad that they had got me those things. But it's awful hard, folks. When you've been hoping for something, and that's the thing you've been expecting, it's hard for that not to be, not just on the inside, but for it to be all over your face, for it to be spelled out all over you. And that's what the Bible's talking about. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. It's something that's down deep that wants to come out on the outside. And it's just a disappointment, if we could say it that way. But the desire cometh, when it does come, it's a tree of life. You know, sometimes when you got somebody that you've witnessed to, you ever been somewhere and somebody goes, I was praying that God would send somebody by to speak with me today. And when you get there and you share with them the good word of God and that they can receive heaven if they just trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, they could have eternal life. You know, there's nothing like that watching them. There's something they desired greatly. And time had passed and they worried about their eternal destiny. I had somebody just the other day. I was talking to him on the phone. It was one of my bus kids. And he called me on the phone and he said, Preacher, I'm sleeping so much better now that I've been saved. I don't lay in bed and worry about it. One of the boys that was talking to my boy online, they play all those games and different things, and they have people all across the country. You know that those things, we always talk about that. It's not good for them to do that all the time. But, you know, one of the things you can do on there too, some of you, hey, you may never meet that person face to face, but you can witness to them from across the way. And they were talking about, hey, we got to get off and go to church. We got to get off and go do this. We got to do this. And they were like, well, what do you do? And, one of my boys told me, he said he played a kid in Ireland and they don't know nothing about a Baptist church over there. And he said, we go to Baptist church. He said, what do they believe? He said, well, let me tell you. Amen. Amen. All the time, there's all kinds of opportunities and things in our life that some people, sometimes they've been seeking something and it comes short, especially when we're talking about eternal life. But there's all kinds of things. Hey, folks, in this room today, there are older folks that there's something you've been desiring in your retired era. You could say that thing, man, it just hadn't come to pass yet. And there's others. Some of you are young people, and you're on the other end of it. And, man, you're just so sick to death, you're hoping for a husband or a wife, and you don't ever think it will happen for you. But let me tell you, you wait on God's will. And when it does come, it will be like a tree of life. But if you settle for the wrong one, hey, it won't be a tree of life. That'll be a tree to beat you every day. Amen and amen. Amen. The biggest issue of our lives, especially outside of salvation, the biggest decision that we'll make, and one of the things that almost every person, saved or lost, hopes for, is the thing that God made us to be, a helpmeet one to another, to be joined together. There's not a person on planet Earth that, again, doesn't have that. They have to get rid of that natural desire if they're going to leave that. They have to leave the natural use of this body and the man. The Bible says that in the book of Romans. And so there's a desire to be coupled, to be complete the way God made us to be together. And so, but again, that doesn't mean that we run out. It doesn't mean that we go staying on the mountaintop and wait for Jesus to come back. We serve him. So you, Christian, where's the best place to find a significant other? Not the nightclub, it's the church house. Where's the best place to find that person? Well, God knows exactly where you are. And for you to find God's will, I can tell you the best place for you to find God's will is in God's church. Amen. He did it for me. Amen. If he can do it for me, he can do it for you. And he knows right where you are. And if you move from the place he wants you to be, you may miss God's will for your life. You say, you're just trying to keep us here. No, I'm trying to keep you close to God's will. I don't want that hope that you feel to be so deferred that when it does come, you miss it. People that have missed, and again, you say, well, how could I miss God's will for my life? Jumping off the train too early. Because I believe this, if you marry somebody that is not God's will for your life, guess what? They just became God's will for your life. Because once you get married, you're supposed to stay married. Amen and amen. You say, well, how will I know that? You'll know it. Amen. We don't have time for that tonight. We got to move on into scripture. But I'm just going to tell you, that hope, that tree of life that it could have been, you'll know the difference. So wait on God's will. You say, well, what if I wait too long? There's no such thing as wait. God is always on time. He let Lazarus die, but it brought him glory. And again, so you say, well, I'd like to be married now. Well, maybe it's not God's will that you be married right now. Maybe God's got something else for you to do while you're single. And then he'll bring that person into your life. You say, well, you got married young, Brother Parsons. Mm-hmm. And there's other people that got married a lot older than me. All right. And so you're still somewhere in the middle. So keep on keeping on for the Lord Jesus Christ until he brings that person into your life. Amen. He says here in verse 13, whoso despises the word shall be destroyed. He's going to go on several verses here as he goes through, just like he did with the mouth. And he's going to go through contrast. He's going to show that there's a difference. Again, that word that he's speaking of, we're going to see in the other verses, he's going to use the law. He's talking about God's word. He's not just talking about any word, but he's talking about the Bible. And people that despise the word of God, he's going to give us some instruction. Those that despise the law or they don't like the commandments, all these things are going to be here. A lot of these would match up with Psalms 119, and all of them are different terminologies for the word of God. And so he's going to give us instruction in how to use this. But again, it's different when we understand this idea, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. It is not just futile or by happenstance that God said all these things about listening and speaking, and then coming to only by pride cometh contention, and with the well advised. Okay, so where are we going to get advice? Where the people that we trust to give us wisdom, where should they have gotten it from? The word of God. When we're trying to get things hoped for and it doesn't come to pass, where are we going to look for comfort? The word of God. Where are we going to go to for wisdom? For, again, the ability to stay and to wait on God. We're going to go to the word of God. And again, he's building up to this. And so he goes... He says in verse 13, whosoever despises the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. Verse 14, the law of the wise is a fountain of life, to depart from the snares of death. Good understanding giveth favor, but the way of the transgressor is hard. We began a lot of this talking about the worker. Apply some of this and even thinking about this. Good understanding giveth favor. All right, understanding. I've been around a lot of people that just come to work and put in time. But the people that try to understand and be mindful of what the great scope of things. Our Christian school. All right, our Christian school was set on a purpose. All right, to assist the Christian home. Our purpose, our statement was to assist the Christian home in training up their children in the way that we should go. So it's our mission statement. So if we were going to grow and we were going to get on board, it's not to teach the kids reading, writing, and arithmetic. That is good. And that's what people think the primary purpose of any school would be. No, we have, that's underneath our main mission statement, to assist the Christian home. All right, so again, when we're after these children, guess what we're trying to do? We're always trying to help the Christian home train their kids. Some of them need writing and reading and arithmetic in different areas. All of them need it in certain areas. But again, we're coupling together with the home. The state says, give us our kids, give us your kids, and we don't want to tell you what we're doing with them. No, come over here. We'll tell you what we're doing with them. We'll tell you everything that we're teaching them. You tell us how we can help you, and we're going to get behind you as parents, and we're going to try to help you because that's our mission. The public school system is there, and again, it wasn't started this way, and I guarantee it's not their mission statement, but their main thing is to steal your kids and to undermine the values of your home and to pump in socialism into your children, to steal their minds and their hearts away from being a good, solid American that you are. Now you say, well, not every, I'm a teacher in the public school system. That's not my purpose. No, but the group that you work for is. The people, when you go to the top, now we got a good governor, but you know what? If we don't vote him back in, he'll be out in a little while. And if we're not careful, we almost got a bad one the last time. We almost got a criminal. Amen. Now, I got a lot of things I could say about the other side and criminals, but I'm going to stay out of that tonight. But the law, the wisdom, good understanding giveth favor. I want to understand what I'm doing for the Lord. If God's going to send me soul winning, I don't want to just know how to be a soul winner, but I want to understand what happens at salvation. I want to be able to grow in my salvation, in my not just my testimony and experience of sharing it with others, but I want to grow in how I can explain it to them. I want to be able to give them assurance verses when I'm done. I want to take them from not just being a soul winner, but I want to go back into disciple people. I want to get them from out in the world and bring them in and take them down the aisle and get them in the baptismal tank and get them to be a part of the church. I don't want to just get them into heaven someday. I want to get them into God's heaven down here, which is God's house, his church, his place of peace and a family of God. I want to do that for people. So good understanding giveth favor. I want to go past just the basic bones of things. I want to understand what the Christian life is about and then put it into practice in my life. And that's good favor, but the way of the transgressor is hard. We say, well, I'm not a transgressor. Again, God's got a way for the Christian, and we ought to be progressing along that way. But again, anytime when we get to a certain stop on the train and say, I've had enough, I'm not growing anymore, I'm not going to do anymore, I don't want to move on for God, what are we doing? Hey, the Christian life is moving towards God all the time. When I decide to stop, how about your kids? You don't think that that's rebellion? You don't think that's transgression? Well, I'm not fighting against God. I'm not pulling against him. Well, what about when your kids stop in the store and they go, I'm not doing one more thing until you get me what I want? Hey, when I was a kid, that had got me busted right there. My dad didn't use that terminology, but what he was thinking was, you little transgressor. He didn't use that terminology. That was Bible terminology, but he was thinking that because he wanted me to come on. He wanted me to follow him. He wanted me to stay. He wanted me to grow. And so as a Christian, he goes through this. And he again, the progression here is very good with the Bible, growing in understanding. The Bible's always going to use that terminology, especially in the book of Proverbs. He's going to give wisdom, commandment, law, reward. Look, wise, a fountain of life. Verse 15, good understanding giveth favor. The way of the transgressor is hard. Every prudent man dealeth with knowledge. Knowledge comes way down there. You know, the world puts knowledge first. They want to throw knowledge way up there. But knowledge is something, again, that's just knowing. You can know a lot but not know how to apply it. You know, again, wisdom is going to have not only knowing something, but knowing how to use it and to apply it properly. That's understanding. Again, you can know that this is a drill. You can know this is a hammer, but still not be able to put a nail in a wall. I know what it does, I know what it's for, but I never put it into practice. And if you've ever seen somebody do it for the first time, sometimes they hit the wrong nail.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Every prudent man dealeth with knowledge, but a fool layeth up his folly. Verse 17, a wicked messenger falleth into mischief, but a faithful ambassador is health. So again, a lot of talk still being said, a lot of things that's going on. But even in verse 18, again, trying to hurry along here just a little bit. Verse 18, he kind of goes all the way back to verse 1. It's again, there's the chapter itself. It seems to be broken all to pieces, but there's some context. There's some continuity to the scripture here. Verse 18, poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction. Remember verse 1, a wise son heareth the father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. Still tying in the truth, but he brought in not only that hearing and speaking and the things that you can do wrong with the mouth, but now he's given us that only by pride cometh contention. You said the wrong thing and now you cause some contention, and if you don't get it right now, you can't go forward. You get down just a little bit farther, and now he's saying that hope deferred maketh the heart sick, and that came after there was pride swollen up. God's not going to bless a person that's got pride swelled up in their heart. He's not going to bless the Christian to go on when they're holding on to bitterness and anger. He's not going to do that. And so then he gets into the Bible. Why would you despise the Bible? Because the Bible tells you to get it right, and you're not ready to turn it loose yet. So he's going through all these different things. For a Christian, why would I not like knowledge? Why would I refuse understanding? Because as we understand that we're supposed to forgive, sometimes as people in the flesh, we want to hold on to anger. We want to hold on to pride. We don't want to turn loose of those things. And even though we love the Word of God, we don't like what it says sometimes, and we're the transgressor because we won't apply it to our lives. Then he goes on and he says, poverty and shame shall be to him that refuses instruction. What's it going to bring us to? What does God usually do? With a nation like America, how has he dealt with Israel over and over and over again? He didn't leave them in poverty. He didn't leave them in prosperity to get their attention. He took them to poverty. And every nation that is going to run away from God and do their own thing and not obey his word, every group of people, he'll bring them to poverty and shame so that they'll look up again and call upon his name. And we're not any different in America, folks. We're not any different. If we refuse the instruction of God's word, if God sends us his men to proclaim the good word of God, to do right and to live right and to be wise sons, to turn back to him. And this is the sad part. A lot of times we think that it is collectively as a nation, but it is not only them. God knows who are his and his sheep. And he is not looking for the world to get right and turn to him first. He's looking for his own sheep that are in his own fold to get right and to come home. And if we would simply do that, there would be a pile of lost people out in the world that would turn and say, look, that's the answer for life. That's the answer for everything. If I would just turn to the God and see, look at how God's blessing them now because they came home and they're obedient Christians and they're living and God's blessing them in the midst of all this poverty and shame, in the midst of all this trouble, God's blessing them. That's what God wants to do all the time. And he didn't just want to do it in the past. He still desperately wants to do it today. Verse 19, the desire accomplished is sweet to the soul, but it is an abomination to fools to depart from evil. Can you understand? Think about this. For you and I, you know, when we finally give in to God and we accomplish whatever it is spiritually that God tells us to do. I can tell you, I've watched people, they've given up cigarettes. They've given up this. They've given up that. Some of them cut their hair. Some of them dressed right. Some of them did all kinds of things, but God directed their heart, and they walked down an old-fashioned altar or maybe stayed in their pew, but they gave that thing up and gave it to God, and that desire accomplished, the thing that God commanded from his word that they had held out of pride or for whatever else, and they held it back. They finally gave it to God. That never was this disappointing moment. Every time it was sweet to their soul when they gave it to God. Every time. He says that desire accomplished is sweet to the soul, but it is an abomination to fools to depart from evil. The world don't understand it. They won't never understand it. Why aren't you smoking anymore? Because God wanted it and I gave it to him. I didn't want to do that mess no more. It wasn't good for me. Why are you giving a tithe to the church? You just got so much money, why don't you give it to me? That's what the world will tell you. Why don't you give it to me? But you know, when you finally get to the place where you give that over to God, it'll change your heart and soul. It'll change your life. It's something, again, I can tell you, you don't sit there and feel good about it. When God prompts his heart to preach on it, it don't make you feel good. It makes you feel like a transgressor because you know it's in the book. And it ain't the preacher that's poking your heart. It's the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. Saying, give me what's mine. And I don't know about you, I can only say that from experience, because when God got a hold of me and I had to get that right with him a long time ago, it sure wasn't a preacher. I thought the preacher was saying all those things, but there was something on the inside of me going, give me what's mine. Just see what I'll do with it. See what I'll do with your life if you'll just turn and be obedient to me. The sweetest day of my life, I can tell you, for my relationship, me and my wife and our finances, was the day I just gave God the benefit of every part of my finances and decided that I don't understand God's plan of 10%. I'm going to be honest with you. I just decided, I said, this don't make no sense to me. I grew up in church, but it didn't make sense. And I told my wife, I said, I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to do this because I know it's right to do. I'm tired of having something between me and God. You know what? After I got all that right and I was feeling like I was doing right, then Brother Scotty came and preached at the missions conference at my home church. And he said, if you really love God, you give twice what you tithe to missions. And I went, Brother Scotty. Amen. You know what? I went home and told my wife, I said, you know, I don't know if anybody else got that, but I said, God challenged my heart tonight. And I said, one time I wasn't obedient to him, and I don't think I'm not going to wait to find out what he's going to do to me if I don't listen this time. Do you know what? I mean, I'm going to tell you, from that day till this, I've been able to give, and I'm not trying to brag on me. Again, I try to increase my missions giving, but it was a blessing to me to watch. And I'm going to tell you, my finances didn't go down. God blessed my finances because they weren't mine anymore. They were his. And he proved to me that I could make the same amount and he could give more through my wallet than I ever could think that he could. Somehow it would come somewhere to me, but I just had to be faithful to give it back to him. Do you know, most of the time we don't think of faith promise missions being that way. We think that we've got to go in our 90% and dig that out of there. But God wants us to watch him give through us. God ain't, when we're talking about faith promise missions, we're not looking into digging into the 90. When you're trusting him, it's when he takes something from out here that you didn't even know where he was going to get it from. And he put it in your wallet and you were faithful to give it back to him. Do you know it'll change your life when you get a hold of that concept? It'll change your world when you realize God really don't need you for anything but a conduit. And if you'll just be a conduit and say, God, if you give it to me, I'll give it back to you. I'll be faithful. When you get a hold of that, God will let you give to missions like you never did before. And I was in the church a long time. I believed in faith promise missions, but when Brother Scotty came and challenged me that way, it changed my world. I said, all right, God, if you want me to do it, I'll do it. And my wife said, are you crazy? I said, you're helpmeet to me. You're a helpmeet to crazy right here, because you're going to help me give this. Amen. Amen. No, she was on board. And you know, the funny thing most of the time, folks, is this. If you're a couple together, if you pray about what God wants you to do and give, he'll tell both of you the same thing. Amen. And you'll be on the same plane. Listen, we have much more to go in the chapter, but this, you know, when we think about this, he comes down here. He says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Evil pursueth sinners, but to the righteous good shall be repaid. I think about all this, and I think about trying to get to this place. I thought, so many times, the Christian life, so much of this chapter talking about the Christian and hearing from the Father. But again, he always ends up, listen, who's in my ear? You know, a lot of time, it's the people I hang around. The people I'm around on a daily basis will affect me. Who I'm walking with. If I'm walking with wise people, man, it's going to make me wiser. from around people that are going to give me well-advised counsel, it's going to make me wiser. You say, well, I can't always judge the people I'm working with. Well, you can judge whether you're going to listen to them or not. I know most of you, I watch most of our population today, they got their ears plugged full of something. They're always listening to something. Again, I challenge you today, I mean, what are you listening to? There's all kinds of things you can choose, and it can be good music, but I know for me, you know what helps me preaching? I listen to preaching a lot of times. When I take time to listen to something, I'll listen to the radio coming into work and going home, but if I've got a good stretch, I don't just flippantly turn the radio on. I plan to use the time that God gave me. If I'm going to drive an hour, I'll try to make sure I have a good sermon that I have not heard so that I can listen to the Word of God. Some of you, maybe you don't get to read or you don't read as well as you used to. Maybe you want to get the Word of God and let the Bible read to you as you drive. It's good for us to take the time that we know that we have and instead of just trying to listen to what someone else had programmed for us. Amen. Somebody down the road or what's on television, plan out how we're going to use, how we're going to grow, how we're going to get closer to the Lord. Because again, who we walk with, I can't trust the cable company to pump in things that are going to help me walk with the Lord. You can't trust every radio station. I thank God for our station, and again, it's uplifting music. If it works out with your drive time for preaching to be on when you're on, but sometimes we've got a plan to have something for ourselves right when we know we're going to be on the road or right where we're going to be. Or maybe you're one of those people like me. The cell phone app don't always work between here and here, and so you got to have something else planned for that. Again, don't leave it up to the world or to the guy that your boss put in the van with you on what you're going to talk about. Plan out your day to serve the Lord, to walk with Him every day. Listen, folks, this scripture is so good to us. Hearing and speaking, but not just that, walking with the Lord every day. We got so much that's bound up in the scripture here, but so many contrasts. Can I just say this? Refusing instruction is where this thing began, and almost near the end there in verse 18, it says that it's not wise for us. You know, poverty and shame comes to those that refuse instruction. Every week that you come to church, there's instruction. Whether it be in Sunday school or junior church, preaching in the main service, again, there's instruction. Again, what are you doing with it in your life? It's Wednesday night's Bible study. The middle portion was all about people who despise the Word of God. We don't always like to put ourselves in that category, but when you think about what you're hearing and preaching and whether you're putting it into practice in your life, where would you put yourself on that rated totem pole of, do I despise the Word of God? Am I just kind of in the middle, or do I delight when God teaches me something new and do I put it into practice in my life? Hey, nothing is better in this world. I preached on making a list of why I love the Lord. I had several people in the church and others. It really blessed my heart when one of our teenagers challenged people on social media to make a list. My preacher challenged me to make a list this morning, and they said, and I challenge everyone who's my friend to make a list of why you love the Lord. It's good for us to hear the Word of God and to do what God directed us to do with it. It's good for us. As many of us have been saved for so long, let's never get out of practice of coming to church and let God do surgery on us and then leave different. Put it into practice. Change us. Cut the things out He don't want in and put the things in that he wants in us. Amen? Let's pray together before we go. Dear Lord, I do thank You for Your many blessings. God, I thank You for this 13th chapter of the book of Proverbs and how, Lord, that there's so many good things in it, Lord, but help us to be hearers of the words and doers. Help us to hear what You want us to do and to put it into practice. Help us not to reject the instruction of the Word of God, but to follow it out in our lives and to live it every day. But thank You and praise You for all You do. Give us safety. So many on the prayer list, God, I pray again that You just help them and heal them up. Bring them back to us. Help us on Sunday. Help us to have people saved, people baptized, and join the church. Well, thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Choir practice? No choir practice tonight. We're going to give you tonight off, so that means